Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Todman, the running back to the left of Bortles. He's in a shotgun. Straight drop. Four-man rush. It's only a three-man rush. Bortles fires it out to the right side. That's caught. Inside the 20-yard line. Allen Robinson still on his feet. Inside the five. Inside the net. Touchdown, Jaguars! Robinson got away from a tackle, and the Jags are on the board. A 31-yard touchdown pass. Two tight end set. Denard Robinson, the running back. Under center is Bortles. They'll give it to Denard, running to the left. Down to through the corner. Inside the five-yard line. Dives to an anthem. Touchdown, Jacksonville! How do you like that? Denard Robinson burst into the end zone. And the Jaguars lead by 10.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Tony Smith and John Osher.
You know, sometimes the opens just serve to remind you how transient this whole NFL thing can be. Listening to Denard Robinson dive into the end zone for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Remember when everyone was really excited when they got Denard Robinson with a fifth-round pick? And it was like, this guy, he can do everything. They can use him a wide receiver, running back, a little bit of quarterback. They can do whatever they want to with him. Well, in the end, he didn't do much for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But you hear the touchdown there in the open, and it's a good reminder of just where we are, guys. 3 days away from the National Football League draft, the first round on Thursday night, the Jags picking seventh overall, in case you didn't know, and I don't know how you wouldn't know at this point living in this city exactly when the Jaguars pick in the first round of the draft. But here we are, draft week. It's Monday, and we'll get into it with, I'm sure, a slew of mock drafts. We had, from CBS over the weekend, R.J. White put together an article where he identified what he considered the team needs, as well as a mock for all seven rounds and a projected basically big board for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and included a couple other guys there at CBS and what they've most recently done with the Jags in their mock draft. The conversation about TJ Hockenson seems to be heating up a little bit more than it has throughout this entire process to the Jags at seven. And in part, it sounds like that could be because Montez Sweat, the defensive end, for whatever reason, is slipping in some people's minds. How realistic that is, again, that it comes out the week of the draft is a little bit more intriguing because it does feel like this is the time where you start getting a little bit more real information from teams. But trying to figure out what's real and what's not real at this time of year is just virtually impossible. So make of that what you will, but some people saying maybe it's the heart condition. He didn't have to get a recheck at the NFL Combine after they found it the first time around. Having to transfer from Michigan State, everything that's going on with Montez Sweat to this point in his career, some people saying maybe he's going to be slipping down draft boards. We'll see. We're just a couple days away from that. But with Sweat slipping down, it sounds like guys like Oliver, specifically Ed Oliver, is a guy that's being talked about a little bit more highly right now than maybe he was a month ago in a bunch of NFL circles. So it sounds like more and more people expect Ed Oliver to potentially even be a top five pick in the upcoming draft. What will happen with Kyler Murray when everything is said and done? Does he go number one overall? And what is the domino effect for the rest of the top five, maybe even top 10 in this draft on Thursday? If Kyler Murray doesn't go to Arizona, what does that mean for everybody else to fall in line and figure out what they want to do? So a lot going on. Obviously, we've had a weekend of new news regarding the NFL draft. We'll dig into all that. The question of the day today, asking you, Jaguars fans out there, among the names that have been talked about and connected to the Jags at number seven over the course of the last couple months, but really specifically in the last couple weeks, the names that you hear heating up for the Jags there at number seven, who do you least like among that group? Who is the scariest to you among the prospects for the Jags there at number seven, where if that name was called, that's the one that you would be most, I don't know, if upset is the word, but would be the one that you're the most worried about them actually calling, whoever that happens to be? Juwan Taylor obviously is a name that's been put out there a bunch. Montez Sweat, as we just discussed. TJ Hockenson, if you're just scared about a tight end and the value of that position there in the top 10 of an NFL draft, okay. Rashawn Gary is a name that's been attached to the Jags throughout this process. Whoever that happens to be, but a name that has been talked about, mocked to the Jacksonville Jaguars over the course of the last couple of months, which of those names is the one that is scariest to you among the prospects in this upcoming NFL draft? That's our question of the day today, and you can get your responses in on Twitter at 1010XLFatTony. We'll get to some of your answers a little bit later on in the show. Dempsey out today on assignment. Hopefully he'll be back in tomorrow for the media mock draft, but we'll see if he's back in. I know he'll be out later in the week as, again, first round of the draft. I don't know if you've heard. It's coming up on Thursday night. He'll be in Nashville, leaving on Thursday morning to head up there or Wednesday afternoon, but he'll be in for the show on Wednesday. Not sure about the media mock draft tomorrow yet or not, but on assignment today, Johnny O sitting down with me for the program, at least for the part of the program he can't be here. I know they got the draft luncheon at, I don't know what time you got.
Yeah, I think it's noon, so yeah. It might be last.
Yeah, we'll see.
Last few minutes, I'll check on.
However
it,
so. Long we got you, we got you.
I'm here.
We appreciate it as we do. We crank it up. It's draft week, so I'm sure your opinion swayed 15 different ways over the course of the weekend, right? Or are you still pretty set?
Yeah,
and what you expect them to do?
I'm not set on. I mean, I don't know what to expect if I was laying odds. If I had a pie chart, there'd be a huge piece of pie with offensive linemen still. And a huge piece with pass rusher, defensive impact player, should he be available at 7. And then after that, very small pieces with tight end, and probably it. Yeah, that's probably my 3 first round thoughts, which is everybody's, but I think it's a very low percentage chance tight end, and I think it's still offensive lineman or defensive lineman.
Have you heard the news coming out over the weekend made it sound like Montez Sweat may be the guy that's slipping. He decides not to come to the draft. He makes the announcement that he's not going to come, and people, look, that kind of information, everyone's going to read into it what they want to with that kind of
right.
It may mean nothing, but when that kind of news comes out, people want it to mean something.
I mean, it's, again, whatever we say at 8:01 when that clock starts, it's any story we're writing now is completely changed by the next morning. It's never what we predict. But from what you've read about him and what's going on, I'd be surprised if he's the pick at 7.
What, just because of the heart
Sweat.
Condition?
Yeah,
the
just,
combination of all of it?
You better have it all in order if you're going to be at 7. I'm saying he doesn't have the heart condition in order. That's not my point. But it needs to be as safe as possible for the team.
He had to leave Michigan State. That doesn't mean he wasn't productive, but he wound up in a different spot. Like,
right.
There is, if you're looking for red flags,
sure,
you can find it with a guy like Sweat, which does make you, at
right.
least from a, if you're trying to get into a team's mind
right.
as to what they want to do, it makes it a little bit more, okay, I can see why they would pass by this
absolutely.
In favor
right.
of something else.
And again, I don't know enough about the details of Sweat or any of the guys in terms of what the team knows that the public doesn't know to comment on that. But when you see those circumstances with Sweat, it would be surprising if he's the pick here, but who knows?
Yeah, plenty of draft talk, I'm sure, today. I do want to get into what Tom Coughlin had to say last week. Don't want to dwell on it too much because
right.
it's been a few days, but haven't been able to get your reaction to it, or we haven't talked to you since.
Right.
We knew Jalen Ramsey wasn't going to be here. I think Telvin Smith not being here caught a lot of people off guard. And it's just getting your reaction to. First, you were in the room last week when Tom Coughlin chose that platform to say
yeah.
what he said. I know when I heard it, I was stunned that he said it as strongly as he said it and figured the NFLPA would have something to say about that, and clearly they do.
I wasn't stunned because Tom's Tom. That's the way he feels. And that's his approach to this, is that, hey, it's one for all for one team, and you ought to be here. So I wasn't surprised. I was less surprised that the NFLPA took issue with it. As soon as he said it, I went, you know, here we go. but at the same time, I think it's important. This is a false start penalty, not an 80-yard interference penalty. I mean, it's a no-no, but I think it's a small no-no. I don't think there'll be draft pick compensation. I would sort of doubt if it was even a fine. My interpretation for reading the CBA is that finable, really serious stuff is when they do things where it's where they if they try to imply to the player, you must be here. If they within the walls make it mandatory, he really didn't say it was mandatory. He walked the line enough where I would be surprised if there is punishment, but I wasn't surprised that there was talk about it.
No, yeah.
I mean, and
look, he comes out and says what he says as strongly as he does.
Right.
There's going to be a response, and it's as we said when it happened. I know that's how he feels.
Right.
Like, I know that's how he... I'm not surprised that that's at all... That's the way he feels about the situation. Saying it the way he said it, that your rights don't matter. I mean, that's a strong statement. Your rights don't matter.
Right.
Okay. Like, they're going to have a pushback on that. And I don't know how serious the pushback will be, but...
It's just the... That is... Those are the underlying feelings.
Right.
Of every team, and in a lot of cases, every fan, hey, if there's something going on, we want our guys to be here. But the bottom line is this voluntary off season, it is absolutely voluntary. And the reason that the rules are in place the way they are is they don't want teams to be able to imply pressure on the players to be here.
Sure.
That's an unrealistic want because it's always going to be every you have 99% attendance. Well, somehow the players are getting the message that they need to be here. So that's always going to be the eternal conflict on this until you make it mandatory, which they never will.
Yeah, unless the players get something big. Maybe guaranteed contracts would be enough to get them to allow them to make it mandatory.
I guess.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if that would be on the table between the two sides.
I doubt it because
it seems like an odd thing to give up if you're the teams. Like if you're the league, to give that up so that you can get guys mandatory.
And I personally don't think it should be mandatory because the spirit of it is taken where most players, and I'd say it's 95% of the players, are here close to full attendance. I think what the NFLPA really doesn't want it isn't so much the right to skip. They want to make sure that if a guy needs to be here for 4 days, mm-hmm. 1 week, and needs to not be here for 1 day, that's not a huge issue, a huge finable issue. That's what a lot of players, especially a lot of veterans, do. They'll be here, like even in OTAs, you'll hear Doug come off the field and talk about, yeah, so-and-so wasn't here today, he's taking care of something, he'll be back tomorrow.
Sure.
That's what the off season is supposed to be. It's supposed to be, hey, you're here, you're dedicated, but if you got to miss, it's not a federal case.
Yeah.
So I don't think they want to make it mandatory because then all of a sudden you're mandatory from April 15th until the end of your season. That's really not how this sport's set up.
No, it's really not.
So.
And again, look, we'll see if there's any kind of repercussions for Tom saying what he had to say.
Right.
And the way that he said it, if there is, I mean, I suppose at the extreme end they could miss an OTA day, maybe.
Which,
but I don't see that necessarily.
Which would be the biggest equivalent of a slap on the wrist.
Right.
Slap on the wrist, because you know what? They've got 13.
Sure.
Counting minicamps, they have 13. That's probably 8 too many. I mean, or if you lose one of those, I know coaches very much want, you know, they have everything lined
right.
up. In the grand scheme of things, I just think they're overblown, but I'm not a coach.
Sure. And wouldn't it be ironic if the team had a day where they didn't have to work because of what Tom Coughlin had to say about the guys
again,
need to be here to work?
If they do, that is not a...
It's not a wind of the world thing. But you can understand why...
They'll be fine.
Yeah. It's a story that was picked up nationally.
Oh, it's
what TC had to say because the PA is the response.
And it should have been a story.
Yeah, it is a story.
The way he phrased it, he wanted it to be a story or he wouldn't have said it in that form.
I think the bigger local story is Telvin Smith. And we'll get into that when we get back here on the other side. I want to talk about Telvin not being here for the voluntary start, at least of the offseason, and doesn't mean anything, really.
Right.
Is it a big deal, small deal, no deal for Telvin Smith not to be here? We'll get your reaction to that. Again, Dempsey out on assignment, hopefully back with us tomorrow as it'll be the annual media mock draft tomorrow. We'll go through ours tomorrow during the program. So until then, we'll get into Telvin Smith. We'll get into Jalen Ramsey responding on Friday as well to everything that's going on. And then we'll get into some more draft news. I promise you here on the program. Johnny O here with you, Tony Smith as well, as we get things rolling here on a Monday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Tony Smith, John Osier here with you on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey out on assignment today. Hopefully back with us tomorrow as we'll dig into the media mock draft. We were trying to figure it out on Friday how many years in a row we've done this. I still don't think we exactly figured it out. It's either 14 or 15 years that we've done the media mock draft, but that'll be tomorrow. That'll take up the entire 2 hours of the show. We'll go through the first 16 picks in tomorrow's show. Emmanuel, now you are getting baptized into this thing for the first time, so how are you feeling on mock draft eve?
Oh, I'm ready, man. I'm ready. I can't wait to see how this goes because everybody says it's a crazy show, so I'm looking forward to it. I just can't wait for it. I'm ready.
Yeah, man.
I'm ready.
Yeah, it's I wish you Godspeed, sir. I've been on that side of it several times trying to get one of these things put together. It's not the easiest thing. I've done it where we've tried to do all 32 picks in 3 hours. You know, it's a crazy, chaotic show, but it is fun. And every year somehow we pull it off. I'm here to make it happen, and we appreciate the boys of XL Primetime splitting it up with us. I can't imagine trying to fit all 32.
Man, just getting 16 teams together, you know, I got to get everybody on point. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll make some shape.
Yeah, I wanted to check in with you just to see how you were feeling the day before.
I appreciate that.
I know the pregame jitters. I know what that feels like with the media mock draft coming up tomorrow. But Johnny O, before we went to the break there, we wanted to get into Telvin. And I know it really surprised me. I don't have an issue with players not being here. I'm totally on board with the voluntary part of it. And if guys aren't here, it's not that I'm upset with guys for not being here. I think not knowing why is a little bit of a weird situation. Like, I know what Jalen's doing. I know what Jalen's doing because it's the same thing Jalen's done since he got here. Telvin has been here for this part of the offseason since he's gotten to Jacksonville. Even after he got the contract extension, he's been here through 2 years where he's had a contract extension, basically, and still shown up for this part of the offseason. So after a season where I heard people around the team questioning some things about Telvin Smith that I had never heard them question before,
right. It
raised an eyebrow at least to see that he wasn't going to be here to start this.
Yeah, I always hate to speak to a player a player's motivations when you don't know the motivations.
Absolutely, yeah.
So if I, you know, is it not being here because of unhappiness? Is it not being here just because, hey, I've been in the league 6-7 years now. I'm not doing the voluntary off-season thing. I'm going to be here for mandatory stuff. Which, if that's what he's doing, that's what the rules say you can do. So,
sure.
So that's fine. I'm frankly surprised more guys don't do that. I think the reason more guys don't do that is I think most established guys are here because they feel like individually this is the best place for them to get ready. So maybe Telvin has a different plan this time. I mean, I was around a lot of great players for a lot of years who didn't show for this. So I do, you know, if it's some sort of protest or some sort of message that I don't know about, then that's different. But I don't know if it's that, so I can't comment.
Yeah, until he lets us know.
Yeah.
And I think that was the bigger part of it to me. You know, when Doug Marrone got up there and said, I reached out, I haven't heard back from those guys. I mean, we all know where Jalen was.
Right.
And so,
yeah, I don't think the team was surprised with either player not showing up. So, I don't know. Doug personally reaching out doesn't necessarily mean that somehow the team did not know in advance they were coming. But if they didn't, it's not like them. When they show up on Monday, when all these players show up on Monday, Telvin and Jalen not being here doesn't put like a stick in the spokes of the wheel and stop anything.
No.
Nothing really changes. There's no planning. It doesn't hurt anybody else. It's just whoever's here is supposed to be working out. Whoever's not isn't. So that doesn't really interfere with anything logistically. It doesn't really hurt anything beyond them not being here. And again, especially these first 2 weeks are conditioning, purely conditioning, strength and conditioning stuff. So there's not a whole lot lost, especially for a defensive player not being here during this time, even up to the mandatory minicamp.
Sure.
Frankly, there's just not.
And it's something Mike and I discussed briefly on Friday. We had, you know, people, we were asking them, what's your kind of off-the-board pick for the Jags at 7? If there's somebody that we haven't been talking about much or has been loosely, you know, talked about over the course of the last few months, who would be your kind of off-the-board pick? And Devin White's the name that came up, you know, for fans, from a handful of fans out there. And then you start discussing, okay, linebacker at number 7. And I said, I'm okay with Devin White being the pick at number 7 as long as the team and the person who's saying Devin White at number 7 is comfortable with the idea that Telvin Smith or Miles Jack is gone in the very near future, and it may be as soon as draft day. You know, it's if you're comfortable with that idea, okay. So I ask Mike, okay, say they come out of the draft, they draft Devin White at number 7, they trade Telvin, whether – I don't know what they'd be able to get for him. Say a fourth-round pick, right? Which may be too much, honestly, as far as what they could actually get for Telvin Smith right now. But let's say they get a fourth-round pick for him. They move Miles Jack to the outside, and Devin White's your linebacker going forward. That means you didn't take an offensive lineman. It obviously means you bypassed whatever other opportunities they were going to have there at number 7. Would you be good with it?
I would be surprised if that was the move, meaning I'd be surprised if it happened in rapid-fire succession like that. I think more likely in that scenario would be that Telvin probably plays this year and then isn't there next year. Would be the, simply because you've already got, when you draft, you've already got that cap space there.
And that would obviously include an extension for Miles at some point.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if moving forward if Miles isn't the more long-term. If Miles isn't here in some future year where Telvin isn't, I think Miles will be here longer at this point moving forward. So that would be still a very small piece of my pie at number 7. But it would make sense too.
Sure. Do you think, based on, you know, just your feel for where they are as an organization, it sounds like you think it's a small piece of the pie just in general.
Yeah.
But do you think there is any consideration for moving Telvin Smith? Look, I heard stuff about Telvin last year.
I think
year.
After the season it was considered.
Yeah, and it was, you know, people that I trust that are close to the team that were telling me things about Telvin, and it's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of out of left field for the way that we had talked about Telvin during his time here.
Everything was talked about, but I think Telvin Smith's future was a major topic of discussion simply because he didn't have his best year last year. And when they were looking at things to do with this salary cap, there was a lot on the, or with the players moving forward, for the first time there was a lot on the table. Tashawn Gibson, Marcell Dareus, all those guys with cap figures, I think, were discussed. And with varying degrees of, okay, which direction are we going to go? So I think Telvin was somebody, much like Deshaun, that was discussed. They decided to let Deshaun go and bring Telvin back.
Not
surprised. That's not
at
unusual
all. Yeah.
For guys who were in, what's Telvin now? If I'm remembering right, this will be going into his third year of this deal.
I believe so, yeah.
So once you get into that third year, they had the same discussion about Calais. They had the same discussion about, you know, so I include Telvin in that bunch because once you're into that third year of the contract, then it has to be discussed, where are we at with this guy?
And the money's finally hitting
big
on Telvin's contract this year from a base salary standpoint, this year and next year. Not surprised at all, as we've said, that Jalen wasn't here for anything. The voluntary stuff, I just don't expect him to be here at any point in his career.
The news
honestly
will be when he is.
Yeah. And look,
and that's okay.
As I told fans over the weekend, because there are a lot of people that were upset with Jalen for not being here, I was like, a bunch of y'all are going to lose your minds when he starts not coming to mandatory stuff because he wants a contract. Because if he doesn't get it, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's the way Jalen handles it. And by the way, I wouldn't blame him if that's the way he
I'd be surprised if that's the play out this year.
This year, that I'd feels be surprised.
Right, but next year, absolutely. If you're going to be upset with Jalen for not being here for voluntary stuff, you're going to be upset a lot.
Yeah.
So just like you were upset when Maurice Jones-Drew didn't show up for stuff, just like you were upset when Fred Taylor didn't show up for things, that's how he's going to roll. And the questions I got this weekend about this, there were several that followed the lines of what you're talking about, which were, well, I think he's making a point about his contract. Well, my guess is if he came in, if they got a deal done tomorrow long term, mm-hmm. he'd probably fly in, sign the contract, and fly back to Nashville. So yeah. I don't think this is...
This is what he does.
I think this is associated with this. Now, he obviously wants to get paid, and there's a part of him that I'm sure is like, let's make this happen. But I don't think this not being here is because of that, because I don't think that getting solved would cause him to be here.
I totally agree with you. I think this is the way that he gets himself ready for a
right.
season. And look, he's been ready for the season, so I don't have an issue with it. I do wonder, you know, when they come in for the mandatory minicamp and Jalen's here, if we get a very Russell Westbrookian, you know, press conference from Jalen where we just kind of get next question. Because he does strike me as the type of guy that could be that. Like, you never know exactly what you're going to get from Jalen at these kind of things when it does
true,
happen.
And sometimes it depends on the day.
And the mood, yeah.
He's sort of, again, I'll get egg on my face because he'll wind up doing what you're talking about. But late last season, second half of last season, he was a lot less that guy. And I don't think he... That would surprise me.
Sure. I don't think he
at this
didn't
point.
Do
I think
it.
I don't think he wants to do that anymore.
Yeah, he didn't do it early, it felt like. And he was, obviously, he did the offseason piece and talked about all the quarterbacks.
Right.
And then, you know, basically through the first 5 weeks, I mean, we all remember the Kansas City week where he's out there, you know, he's a return specialist. He's
right.
not a wide receiver, he's a return specialist. Like,
right.
he was very open there yeah. for those first 5 weeks. And when it went south for the team, I think – there was about a month and a half period there where Jalen was like, I don't want to deal
right.
with the media right now. And late in the season, I thought he was back to being the Jalen we
yeah,
all
last
kind of
six
appreciate
weeks,
doing it.
He was as professional and as good on that front as anybody in the locker room. During a time where a lot was going bad, his locker room approach and his approach to being team leader, team spokesman, whatever, which he's still young to be team spokesman guy, you know, maybe not so much this year, but still, you know, mm-hmm. Improved dramatically. And again, I still got a lot of questions. Is this guy a problem? Is this guy this guy that? I don't see him as a problem at all.
No, I don't either.
I think the national perception of him will probably always be swayed a little bit with the flashpoint being last summer with the national, you know, with the GQ stuff. But the national perception is not the perception I have of Jalen.
And before we turn it back to draft talk, let's wrap up kind of the newsy stuff for the Jags over the course of the last week with when would you extend Jalen?
Ideally, as soon as possible. But I don't know enough about what they are planning to do with other guys around him
mm-hmm.
to answer that specifically. There would be a lot to be said for extending him, making him happy, the whole thing. He's going to be on the cover of your media guide. He's that face of the franchise with doing it quickly. But the reality is there's just not a hurry to. I think I would guess it will get done sometime next year. I don't anticipate it before the end of the 2019 season.
Okay,
that's my gut. That's nothing that I've heard from anybody who has their hands on his contract or who would be making phone calls.
Sure.
That's not reporting. That's just sort of the time frame for when this fifth year, the 5 year contract, open the season, first round pick guy plays out. So
sure,
I would anticipate it after this season.
Yeah, that's all I was looking for. Just kind of a gut reaction to when you think it might happen.
Right.
I tend to agree. I don't think it's even a consideration before we get to next offseason.
Right.
And I'm curious.
Now, often with contracts, what happens is we say that, and then one day there's a press release because they've been working on it and it gets
done.
It can be absolute rapid fire. Oh, I decided to get it done. Yeah, this month turned into this. We figured out how we wanted to do it, and we went ahead and and got it done. I don't think this will be that simple.
No, and I'm with you. I wouldn't be surprised if any time over the course of the next 24 months we come in for a day and they're like, we've extended Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
It could be any of those days that I'd be like, okay, makes sense. Just kind of trying to get a gut reaction there on when you think the timetable might work.
That said, this is going to be a major story for a long time.
Heck yeah, it is.
We're going to get a lot of questions about can they afford to do it. A, you can afford to do whatever you want. I would be very surprised if he's not the highest paid cornerback in the league at some point and long term with this team.
Sure.
I don't get a feeling that all this – every time you wake up, there's some team out there, there's some, you know, blog tweeting, the Chiefs should trade for Jalen Ramsey. This team should. I don't get the idea that that's the tone of the conversation at all. I think he's long-term here.
I absolutely agree with you on that point. Let's get into the draft talk. Some people, more people connecting TJ Hockenson, honestly, to the Jags than ever here in the last couple of days. Maybe that's reacting to Montez Sweat slipping down in a lot of people's minds. Maybe it's reacting to how people really feel about Juwan Taylor as a prospect as we get closer and closer to the draft. But TJ Hockenson being attached to the Jaguars more at 7. So the question becomes, I hear people say it all the time, tight end is more valuable than it's ever been. Is it? We'll dig into that a little bit on the other side. John Osier here with you, Tony Smith, Mike Dempsey on assignment. It's a Monday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
It's a March Motors Monday. Good credit, bad credit, we don't care.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios.
JOI, where the pros go. Every day we deliver more Jacksonville sports than
starting Gator quarterback since Tim Tebow.
Let's make it 40,000.
1010XL.
When you are watching termites swarm around your yard instead of enjoying life, there's a problem.
It is termite season, and you're probably seeing swarmers, but it's the subterranean termites that do all of the damage. You may not even see them. Protect your investment and have Peninsular Pest Control treat your home before termites get inside. Call today or go online to CritterGetter.com. Ask about the $100 termite discount.
You can reach us at 389-3491.
I'm here with Clayton Bromberg of Underwoods. Let's talk a little bit about guarantees and warranties and what they mean. I've heard you say that Underwoods guarantees the price paid on a diamond solitaire if you trade it in for a larger diamond later on, and that you give a 5-year warranty on a Rolex belt from Underwoods. Just how do you monitor all of that?
David, I think before you can talk about a guarantee or a warranty, you have to first look at a company's history of how they've treated customers in the past and how long they've been in business. Because a warranty or a guarantee is really nothing more than the word of a company. Their history and reputation will give you a good indication of how they stand behind their products. As far as how all this gets monitored, a lot of companies give you something in writing, and if you lose it, well, then you don't have a guarantee anymore. At Underwoods, we keep up with the price paid and the date of purchase, so if a customer loses their receipt, we've captured all the information and can retrieve it for them. I guess simply stated, at Underwoods, our guarantees and warranties are our word, and since 1928, that's been the most sacred thing we have to offer.
Underwood Jewelers.
Have you been injured in an auto accident and don't know what to do? Call Hatfield & Hatfield at 446-9990 because it's not about us, it's about you. Hatfield & Hatfield, helping you in your time of need.
Courteous, right way, no pressure, worth my time. Hi, I'm Larry Birkins from Birkins Chevy in McClinney. And those aren't my words. Those are the words of our customers. We don't play games to sell a vehicle. We do business the right way. All of those incentives you hear other dealers advertising, well, you get those at every Chevy dealer. And if Chevy makes it, we have it or can get it. Come on. So make the easy drive to deal with Birkins Chevy. It's worth your time. Highway 90 in the heart of McClinney or BirkinsChevy.com. Chevy, find new roads. Come on.
Hi, I'm Ellen Darley with Darley's Plumbing. When you use Darley's for any plumbing work, you're getting the service, expertise, and reputation of the Darley's family name.
The ability to control any number of systems, including windows, plant watering, and more. Home automation can also save you money. Control lighting and thermostat settings. Optimize timing and usage. The system can also provide text and email alerts. It's all at American Electrical. Call 737-7770.
Hi, this is Joe Butler from Black Creek Outfitters. Why should you shop at Black Creek?
Is it the great staff that is committed to giving you the highest level of service? Is it our events and classes to make sure your experience in the outdoors exceeds expectations? Is it because we are locally owned and operated and committed to Jacksonville? Or is it the locally shown pricing program where we make sure you get the best price? We want to make sure your experience in our store is the best it can possibly be. So whether you're headed to the mountains or out on the water, get in here before you get out there. Shop and buy local at Black Creek Outfitters.
Tap the keys to share your opinion on the 1010XL text line. Driven by Duval Ford.
Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
641-1010. When you want to share your thoughts with us.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
Be part of the conversation. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at TIAA Bank Field, this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tony Smith, Jaguars.com senior writer. John Osier here with you. John, does the writing schedule change for draft week? I know you'll probably write up something with the luncheon coming up this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, it changes based on I'm writing a lot more at night on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Oh, sure,
because you're writing live stuff. But beyond that, it's most of the coverage early in the week will be based off what they say at the draft luncheon. Today's a live event because they're talking about it. So I have a couple stories up based on what Tom, Dave, and Doug say. I don't expect Doug to say very much, but Tom and Dave.
This is a Tom and Dave day.
Yeah, and so they won't say very much either. And frankly, this is a day where you quote people saying probably what you expect them to say, which is that, hey, we're open to a trade one way or the other. We're, you know,
we're going to get a player we really like.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. That's what the draft is. So it'll be interesting to hear them. It'll be interesting to see them. But this is everybody knows what this is. And then the last couple of days are just more speculation. You know, I'll probably throw up the odds of taking this position or that position. Join in the fun of it, give people something to think about, but certainly not to make anybody think that we have any clue what's going to happen, because we probably have less of a clue than anybody.
Yeah,
just because,
yeah,
you know, that's how it's set up.
Yeah, I've said it before. I love the draft process. Like, none of this bothers me. I enjoy going through the mock drafts and talking about different situations and, you know, the scenarios for if they want to go X and then Y or Y and then X. You know, like, I enjoy having that entire conversation because I like talking football.
Right.
It's fun to talk football.
As long as you remember that it's fun.
It is fun. And I try to explain it like it's trying to put together a puzzle while you're blindfolded and the pieces keep changing shape. Yeah. Like trying to get it right, you just don't know. You don't even know what you're looking at most of the time. When you're picking fourth, it's hard to figure out what you're looking at. When you're picking seventh, it's that much more difficult. Like last year, people wanted to know what they were going to do with 29. I don't know.
Right.
Like, I don't know what's happening 1 to 28. So I can't tell you what they're going to do or even have an educated look at what they're going to do at 29.
And that's why the most educated is, look, offensive line or defensive line would make a lot of sense.
Because of where they're drafting.
And because of...
they could use them.
It appears that there are some elite level guys at those spots who make a lot of sense for those positions. And again, I keep going back to the tight end thing. Everybody wants Hockenson, and I get that. I always go back to what Dave Caldwell said at the Combine about the depth of this tight end class, and it just makes sense to me that they would be waiting second and third round for that position with the idea that you can get – you're trying to make your whole roster better. So the idea that you can get better later in the draft at that spot, I still think that's the way they go with tight end, is waiting on that position.
It's been a general truth in the league in general, right? Like, it's you can wait longer to get tight end help than you can wait to get offensive line. And
particularly this
line
year.
Help.
It's really deep this year.
And it's a deep class there, tight end, at least the way that people talk about. The question that I mentioned a few moments ago, I hear people say it, and I hear people say it a lot, that tight end is more valuable than it's ever been in the league. How long have you been covering the league now?
25 years, yeah.
I would imagine tight end, is it more valuable than it was when you started, and do you think
it's
at its most valuable?
Well, it's always been valuable. It feels more like a have to, and the thing I said on Frangie's show on Friday. If this was your normal tight end class where maybe you felt like there were only two or three that could help you, then I think I'd be saying that Hockenson at seven is a real good possibility. But even beyond the top three everybody's talking about, people talk about this class going 8, 9, 10 deep. So circling back on the spot at, 69 where they pick, that still feels like I'd be shocked if they don't take one by their first choice in the third round. But I wouldn't be shocked if it's not that first round position. That being said, I think there's a feeling that they've got to get better at the spot. And it's a must to keep up with what you're talking about, that it is a vital position in the NFL. I think over the course of the next 10 years, you'll see many more of these players, tight ends, go in the top 10 than you have, because I think the position is also being developed better at the lower levels of football. There are more – this may be the start this year of a trend of more good players of the position coming out because it's being emphasized more.
Yeah, maybe. I'd look at it – you said you've been, you know, covering it now for 25 years. If you look back since 2009, so we're talking 10 drafts now, you've seen five tight ends taken in the top 20.
Right.
You know, like, I hear people say it's more valuable than it's ever been, and then I look at what teams, where they invest in the position, and I'm like, okay, then when are they going to start investing in it? And maybe we are watching a turn, you know, in that direction, but until I see it, you know, I understand the idea being, I would love to find a Travis Kelce. I would love to find a Zach Ertz. Obviously, everybody would love to find a Rob Gronkowski, because that's a guy who I believe could be a first ballot Hall of Famer,
right,
is in the argument among the Mount Rushmore tight ends in NFL history, potentially, right? Like, finding that guy, that's special, that's elite. There's no argument about that. It's Dallas won a playoff game with Jeff Swaim. You know, like, the other side of it is there's a handful of teams that not only were in the playoffs last year, but the two teams playing in the NFC title game weren't exactly featuring tight ends. I mean, the Rams and Saints weren't tight end heavy offenses. They used their tight ends, but I don't think it was because Ben Watson is a difference maker or Tyler Higbee is a difference maker. I think they're okay. They're above average among NFL tight ends, but I still don't quite buy the argument that you have to have a great one. I think you have to have a good one, and you can be okay with good at that position.
Right, and the other argument against top 10, and I haven't studied this enough to know what the analytics show you, but these tight end dependent offenses didn't become tight end dependent based on top 10 tight ends. Now, Gronk would have been, everybody knew Gronk was a first round talent and he slid, but Kelce, Ertz, some of these other guys have been found much later in the draft, and they develop once they're into the league. The history of guys taken in the top 10 who pan out at the tight end position is not nearly as great as it is at other positions. So now, again, I think that may be what we're on the verge of seeing change. You know, last year, Goddard and I'm drawing a blank on the other guys, Hayden Hurst. It looks like most of the guys that people projected last year as being very good at the position indeed came in and appear to be on the way to what people thought they'd be before the draft. The more that happens, the more the league gets confident that they're scouting a position right and that they can start pushing these guys up the board.
It just seems like a weird spot to be in a year where they talk about the talent along that defensive line there at the top of the draft. And, you know, you mentioned the idea of the team in a position where it has a feel of we need to get better at X, speaking about tight end. What other positions heading into this draft do you think they have that thought about? Like, is right tackle one of those spots where they look at it and say, we have to get better at right tackle in this draft?
It just feels like right tackle is a spot, much like tight end, where they look at it and say, okay, we're fine. If we go into the season right now, we can line up and we feel good about it. But there are also spots where clearly if they draft a guy who's top 10 – then that player becomes the most talented player at the position and is odds on going to start. So they're in a position where they don't have to draft tight end or right tackle, but if they did, you'd be a lot more excited about the position publicly than you are right
sure.
now.
Sure. And I think we'd both be on the same page. Say, whether it's Hawkinson or Juwan Taylor, mm-hmm. right, who's maybe the best right tackle prospect right in this draft. So if they drafted Hawkinson or Taylor, you would think they got much better, they improved much more at the position if they drafted Hawkinson than probably they did Taylor with the way that they're talking about the two prospects? Not taking into account how important the position might be or the value probably of the number seven pick.
Probably pretty similar.
Okay.
I mean, I think you upgrade to a top – I mean, if you're taking those positions in the top, you're picking seventh. So you're saying that you've drafted an elite guy who you hope is in the Pro Bowl. Not first year, but, you know, if you're taking top 10, hasn't panned out here. But seven's only two spots later than Jalen. Want that guy to be absolutely – I think – you better have upgraded whatever spot you draft pretty significantly. That doesn't really apply to defensive line, because I think defensive line, if they drafted a guy seventh, he was going to come in and make an impact. I don't know that it would be a dramatic talent increase over Jan, Calais,
sure,
Darius, maybe Taven. Taven hadn't shown it yet, but that's more of a about the second year talent increase over what they anticipate leaving.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you there. Yeah. And look, defensive line, there's always value in adding to your defensive line, because there may be four starters, but it's really a rotation of seven or eight guys that you have to rely on a game.
And they're really trying, exactly as you said, you're trying to upgrade spot six there as much as you are spot four, because you're thinking those guys are going to be on the field a lot.
Yeah, and it could be spot three as early as next year for a football team. You just don't know necessarily what's going to happen in 2020, though, of course, you have to have a plan for what you expect it to be. This state in football history, the role and reach around the NFL, and I guarantee you, again, we're not done talking draft, what the Jaguars may do at number seven on Thursday night as we continue along. It's a Monday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, got some birthdays for you today. Happy 60th birthday to former New York Jets running back Freeman McNeil. McNeil was selected to three Pro Bowls, went with the Jets, an all-pro team in 1982.
Did you say 60th?
60.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Welcome
Makes
to the
feel
segment.
Old. Yeah. All right.
Happy 33rd birthday to free agent running back Marshawn Lynch. We'll ask Emmanuel, since he's got the pipeline to Marshawn. Is he playing football this year, E.T.? I take that as a no. Marshawn won't be playing football. Lynch was a first-round pick of the Buffalo Bills in 2007. Has been selected as a Pro Bowler in five seasons, including an All-Pro selection in 2012. Might have been a two-time Super Bowl winner if the Seahawks had decided to run the ball down on the goal line versus the New England
Patriots.
I think
what Emmanuel just did there, he just didn't answer the question.
Yeah.
Out of respect for Marshawn, who didn't answer the question.
Yeah, next question.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Yeah, I hear you. Happy 58th birthday to former New York Giants, Oakland, and Washington quarterback Jeff Hostetler. Hostetler took over for an injured Phil Simms for the Giants in the playoffs following the 1990 season. Led the Giants to an upset win over the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl. Hostetler eventually signed with the Raiders. And despite the way, like, you hear the way Hostetler's talked about, like in NFL history, you know, maybe the worst quarterback that's ever won a Super Bowl. That
he's
kind of
pretty
stuff.
Good with the Raiders now.
He made a Pro Bowl with the Oakland Raiders in 1994. Happy 36th birthday to the Jacksonville Jaguars first-round pick in 2005, Matt Jones. Jones spent four seasons with the Jags and signed briefly with the Cincinnati Bengals, never appeared in a game for them after he was let go by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that is this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
Speaking of former Jags, the Buffalo Bills have signed running back T.J. Yeldon to a two-year deal. Yeldon was a second-round pick here in Jacksonville in 2015, spent four seasons here before being allowed to hit free agency following last season, and a bunch of TV shots of Yeldon sitting on the bench with Leonard Fournette during the final game versus Houston last year that was annoying enough for Tom Coughlin that he made a public statement after the game, calling it embarrassing and unprofessional. Not surprising that T.J. Yeldon, allowed to hit free agency after that, signs a two-year deal with Buffalo today. The Seattle Seahawks are reportedly shopping around franchise-tagged pass rusher Frank Clark. Seattle is looking to get a first-round pick in return. Several outlets are connecting the Kansas City Chiefs to Clark. after the Chiefs have let Dee Ford and Justin Houston go this offseason as they transition in their defense. New Orleans Saints tight end Ben Watson, who announced his retirement following the NFC title game loss in January, said over the weekend that he is seriously considering returning to the New Orleans Saints for one more year. Again, they were in the NFC Championship game last year. Wouldn't be surprised if they're among the two or three favorites in the NFC to get to the Super Bowl this year when everything is said and done. But Ben Watson at least seriously considering a return for one more season there with the Saints. And Matthew Stafford's wife, Kelly Stafford, is back home from the hospital after surgery to remove a brain tumor over the weekend. Kelly shared her diagnosis of acoustic neuroma in April, had a six-hour surgery planned. It turned into 12 when the surgeon found an abnormal vein. She said that it was a surgeon that had done work on this kind of thing before, so hopefully everything good with her. She is back home, so obviously thoughts out to the Stafford family as she continues her recovery. That's a tough one, and nothing but the best to them up there. We had someone on the text line when we were discussing tight end and the value of the position there during the last segment. To me, it is more about the value of the position, and I'm not saying that it isn't getting greater than it has been in recent years. I'm still not quite on the – I think it's a luxury to have a really good tight end, and I think there are really good football teams that have a bunch of other stuff in place, and they have a tight end, and you watch an offense take off, right? I think there is something to that. I think there is a spot where the value is right for Hockenson in a draft like this. I'm not convinced that 7 is that spot. We had a texter on the Do All 4 text line basically came in and said, Bucky Brooks is saying he's the next Jason Witten, 10-plus Pro Bowlers, gold jacket type guy. That he mentioned that a bunch of lists have Hockenson as a top 5 prospect in this draft. I will let the texter know I spent the break basically going to 9 or 10 different lists of prospect rankings. I couldn't find one.
I haven't
one.
Seen that a whole lot.
Yeah, I haven't seen one. And maybe I'm just looking at the wrong ones, but I didn't see one that had Hockenson as a top 5 prospect in this draft. He's solidly in that 8 to 12 range.
Yeah.
In virtually everyone's list.
There's nothing wrong with taking TJ Hockenson.
Agreed.
There would be nothing wrong with that. But considering the depth of the position, and I keep saying that because that's everything you hear is it's unusually deep this year at tight end. It would not be a foolish strategy in this year to wait and circle back and improve yourself at that spot by waiting until the top of the second or the top of the third if you believe you're getting a higher impact at number 7 with another position. So I'd like nothing with it. The position has been deficient for this franchise for a long time.
Sure.
And when I say deficient, I mean they haven't had that guy they can go to 3rd and 7, you know, 8 yards every time guy like a Kelsey and Ertz, et cetera. I'd love to see it. But if they go a different direction and take it in the 3rd round, this is a year where it makes sense, and this is a year where you're not necessarily rolling the dice as much doing that as you would be in other years.
Yeah, and the wall I keep running into, at least mentally for me, again, I think, look, Hockenson is a good enough player that if they took him at 7, I'm not going to complain about them taking TJ Hockenson. To me, the hurdle that I have to jump to get to where I think the Jags are going to take TJ Hockenson at 7 is they're picking 7th in a draft where people keep telling me about the depth, or at least the amount of guys that are impact pass rushers.
Right.
In this draft at the top, like that's where the value is in this draft is the impact pass rushers for a team that it's not like they couldn't use it. Like, again, I think everybody can use that if you're in position to get it. It's really hard to find, and you're not going to get the same value anywhere close to the same value waiting a round or two at that spot that you would waiting a round or two at tight end. And if you're bypassing – again, maybe it's a Pro Bowl level tight end. I get it. That has a value. And I'm not saying that it's not valuable. I'm saying it's less impactful than finding a guy who's going to hit the quarterback for you for 5 years. Like, it's just not as valuable. I need to go through, and maybe I'll spend this afternoon and take a look at some of the numbers historically with this. Like, I'm looking at tight end numbers from last season. There were 12 guys in the league that caught 50 passes. Mm-hmm. that number doesn't mean anything to me until I know how many guys have caught 50 passes from the position for the past 10. You know, and right. If there is more impact from it. But there were 12 guys who caught 50 passes last year. I would expect if TJ Hawkinson came in that would be the bare minimum expectation for him if he was going to step into this offense.
Yeah, and historically it has been a position where it's year two where they really start taking off because there's so much to learn.
Sure.
It changed a little bit last year. There was more immediate impact. And I think it was Goddard who was the big outlier who had a very good year. But the tight ends who were drafted high, which top 50, top 60 players, came in and made a quick impact. So it may be changing with RPO quicker, a ball getting out. That dynamic may be changing. And I think they're playing more NFL style in college, so it's easier for them to transition into it. But I would expect that would be the bare minimum for Hawkinson first year with a much higher ceiling the second year. Again, I just at this point, I would be surprised if he's the pick. I get that he is having a lot of he's trending for the Jaguars right now, if you will. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel to me like that's the direction as much as defensive line or offensive line.
So do you think the highest rated players on their list are defensive linemen?
Well, I think the highest rated players in the draft period are.
You are, right. But the guys that you might be able to expect that could potentially, like, I don't expect Quinnen Williams or Josh Allen, those guys to be available to him at 7.
Right.
So if you get to let's call it the second tier, whatever that second right. group of players are, do you think the highest rated player for them among that group is the defensive lineman?
Yeah, and I think the X factor is, does somebody, you know, Haskins is obviously a huge X factor for him. Not that I think they would take Haskins, but if somebody would take a quarterback, or if the Giants, obviously, as we're talking about, if the Giants go quarterback at 6 and the Cardinals indeed go Murray at 1, which both of which I'm not sure are definites, but if they're before them, then all of a sudden you've got, and run the numbers, but that dramatically increases the chances of somebody that you don't think is going to fall to them falling to them. And that would be where even this second tier, that would be the scenario where a first tier guy would fall to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the ideal.
Sure. Like, I just trying to put it together in my head as far as what I expect them to do. I think the highest rated guy the highest rated guy on their board is going to be a defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who that is, I think you can argue a bunch of different spots. I'm kind of with the trend that we're feeling right now. I don't think it's Montez Sweat,
right?
Even if he's available to him. So when you get to that other group of guys, I've been saying it for a while now, I'd be doing cartwheels if it was Ed Oliver. Mm-hmm. I love the guy, but again, the way I feel about it, if he was sitting there at 7, I'd be like, how the heck is this guy available
right.
at 7? Like, that's the way I feel about Ed Oliver.
Right.
Right. I don't feel necessarily the same way about some of the other defensive line prospects. Like, Rashawn Gary, we're asking the question today, what prospect scares you the most?
He scares you.
That has been mentioned to the Jags there, and Gary probably tops that list for me that I've just been
like, and he wouldn't surprise me at all.
Sure.
Just because, like you said, he's going to be at the top of that list, and when it shakes out, he could be the guy available. Haskins, Murray. I think Ed Oliver going before them would help them because it would automatically push somebody else down again. But they're going to have their shot at a good player at 7. And I hear all the naysayers out there going, well, that means they'll screw it up because they always do. You know, you hear that. But
let's get on a run of 3 years and not screwing it up and go win a title.
Right. They're in a good spot.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's how it gets done.
Right.
Is you stop messing it up and then you start winning pretty consistently. Yep. That's generally the way it works.
Offensive line, defensive line.
Yeah.
Baby.
Hopefully this is the year where they start turning that around. You know, get more guys like Jalen Ramsey in there. I mentioned early on RJ White over there at CBS Sports had an article. They, over there, they put
CBS
together,
had a mock draft.
Well, what they did was they put together a list and basically put all this information together where they had two or three different mock drafts for a team. They just gave you a team's mock draft. So the Jags draft for the seven picks or for the seven rounds. And then what they consider to be the biggest needs for the team heading into the draft, and maybe even a look at how they think different players would be ranked at different spots given different situations. So we'll get into that with R.J. White, what direction he thinks the Jags should be going in based on where he thinks the needs might be for this team heading into the draft on Thursday and obviously through the weekend as well. John Osier, Tony Smith here with you. Mike Dempsey on assignment, hopefully back with us tomorrow for the media mock draft. Our fan feedback question of the day today asking you, which player that has been mocked or connected to the Jags over the course of the last few months scares you the most as the pick there potentially at number seven? We'll get to some of your answers a little bit later on the show. Get into R.J. White and what he feels are the biggest needs for this Jaguars team. You might be surprised what he lists there at number one when we return here on a Monday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tony Smith, John Osier here with you.
Does he say party time?
He does.
That should be on air, not just off air, because that's so much cooler than anything I ever said.
Yeah, Emmanuel, when we're coming back, he'll give us a countdown so we know like how long we have. It's usually like a 10 and a 5 coming back, and then right as we're getting ready to hit that music coming in, we'll get a party time.
Yeah, that needs to be shared with the public. That shouldn't just be for our ears.
No, that's pretty fantastic. As we count down the minutes until the draft luncheon, we're a little over half an hour away from our last opportunity to talk to TC and Dave Caldwell before the NFL draft.
And I can't wait because they are going to fill the notebooks today,
baby.
They're going to knock it out of the park.
And Coughlin's really going to appreciate answering whatever questions he's going to be asked about what happened last week with what he had to say. But
he'll handle that. Just
the way that Tom has always handled it. Again, not surprised at all that that's his opinion on it.
Right.
But it is a news story, and I'm sure it'll be talked about a little bit today and then get into the meat and potatoes.
And that's when they'll really start laying it out.
Yeah.
Who they want at five, who they want at six, seven.
That's what you do. You got to get them off guard with the jab. Right. catch them off guard about how he feels about what he said.
And there always is a feeling of leading up to the draft, and I guess I'm used to after doing it for so long, that what are you really doing when you're writing about this? What are you really writing about? Because you know it's all – it's not even just that it's just smoke and mirrors. It's all about how teams feel about players.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is you might have the best sources in the world, but you don't really know how they feel about players because you don't know how they're going to feel if this guy goes before them. And it's all just sort of nonsensical, but it's so much fun, and everybody wants to read about it. And the incredible thing is how long it lasts. It goes forever. It starts at the Senior Bowl when your team's not in the playoffs.
Yep.
We've been talking about – I mean, I always wait and familiarize myself big time starting with the Senior Bowl because I figure during the season, I'm doing the season. And if I go to the Senior Bowl, then you start getting to know these guys a little bit. And even that's been
it's January.
17, 18 weeks of this now.
At the end of January, it's the week of the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's just whoosh, gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know that work for like five guys.
Yeah. I mean,
and even then, you don't know the fifth round pick. So.
I mean, we're 3 days away from not having to talk about a bunch of guys that we've been talking about.
My favorite question, I say it every year, are John, who do you like in the fifth round for the Jags?
What did they take in the first four?
And even if you do know that, linebacker, which one? Whatever.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, I appreciate it. Like, I really do. I appreciate the listeners and the fans out there who go through and put together these mock drafts and want to share them. Like, I appreciate the heck out of it. It is a discipline that I don't have.
Right.
Like, it's not an exercise that I personally want to do.
The guys who roll out those seven-round mock drafts, they pick 263.
They send it to me, and they're like, what do you think? I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know that you have it right at seven. I certainly can't feel good about what you have at 38.
Positional.
You know, I just don't know.
The best you can do, or the best I can do, is areas that make sense with certain values at certain spots in the draft.
Sure.
I think safety makes sense later in the draft. special teams, linebacker, guys who can run, make sense later in the draft. Specifics, I still say top four picks, meaning rounds one, round two, and two in round three, offensive line, defensive line, running back, and tight end, somewhere in that. My guess is that I'll be right on three of four of those positions.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mentioned R.J. White over at CBS Sports put together this article where he kind of puts a bunch of the information about the team together in one spot you to go look at. So they put out their positional rankings basically last week, and they had some way that they were figuring this out. So essentially what it meant was if your team had a 16 at a certain position group, that's league average, which makes sense. Yeah. And so below that is something that you may want to consider upgrading. Anything below 23, they would consider a pressing need for your team.
And that's cool stuff. It's hard because we right. always look at it and just pick it apart. Say, how could they think safeties were, you know.
Sure.
But overall, it's a good gauge for when you're going and trying to look at an entire draft. For me, for example, I don't know much about the San Francisco 49ers, what they might need. So on draft day, if something happens in San Francisco that I'm interested in, I might look at that article and say, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's a good barometer and a good feel. I doubt it will stand the test of any hardcore fan of that local team as, oh, boy, this is what they're going to do.
Yeah, I doubt many people are going to agree with this because they have five positions. They bunch wide receiver and tight end, and that is one of the five. But they have five position groups that they consider needs. They have three that they consider a pressing need for the Jacksonville Jaguars heading into this draft. They list number one, quarterback. Now, he acknowledges, right? He acknowledges they went and spent all the money on Nick Foles, so he doesn't expect them to address it early in the draft.
How nice of him to acknowledge that.
Right. But he does, apparently, with the way that they feel about where Nick Foles ranks among the league, apparently they don't feel as good about it as maybe the Jaguars do. Look, the Jaguars spent the money they spent for a reason. They're not going to go quarterback. I wouldn't expect. Round three is the first spot I would expect them to consider.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't touch it at all.
Yeah, and wouldn't be surprised at all if they don't touch it at all. I'm right there with you in this draft. But they have quarterback listed number one. So they have quarterback listed as a need and as one of their three pressing needs heading into this draft. The other two positions they have as pressing needs heading into the draft for the Jacksonville Jaguars, running back and the skill position group outside of that, wide receiver and tight end, are the three that they have listed as their pressing needs going in. They also listed offensive line and interior defensive line among their needs. Now, with all of that being said, he's guessing at their big board, right? This is kind of interesting. So he's taking a guess of what he thinks the Jags' big board might look like. And his top six, he has Josh Allen, Jawan Taylor, Ed Oliver, Rashawn Gary, TJ Hawkinson, Montez Sweat. And right. I guess that's among guys that he thinks might be available to him by the time they're picking. So I doubt Josh Allen's going to be available to him. I would expect Jawan Taylor to be a guy that's going to be available to the Jags. They're number seven.
Right.
So with his list of players right there, assuming Josh Allen's going to be gone, and I pretty much do assume Josh Allen's going to be gone, although I'd be really happy if they could get Josh Allen in the draft, that makes Jawan Taylor the pick for the Jags. They're number seven, despite the other needs that he had is more pressing among the skill position guys for this football team. He had him going wide receiver in the second round, Terry McLaurin out of Ohio State, Deontay Thompson, the safety out of Alabama, in the third round, and tight end Dawson Knox out of Ole Miss in the third round as well. I guess the first question I have, you know, whatever you feel about Nick Foles in the quarterback position, at least he acknowledges this is how I feel about it. I don't expect him to do anything about it.
Right.
Right. Like he says, this is probably more of a pressing need than they're going to acknowledge it being, basically, in his opinion, which I don't know that he's wrong.
Sure.
And I don't even know that I don't kind of sort of agree with him in that regard, because as I've said, if I was making the pick and Dwayne Haskins is there, Haskins would be the pick for me still. Like, if I'm making the pick and it's up to me, Haskins is still the guy that whose name I'm calling if I'm the Jags. I have zero expectation of that being the way that it plays out.
Right.
Just don't expect him to go quarterback. And again, maybe in the third round, and wouldn't be surprised if they don't address it at all
right.
In the draft this weekend. Beyond that, though, how do you feel about where he had that big board with Juwan Taylor being the highest rated among the guys that would likely be available to them?
I think that's a very common – that's why Taylor has been the pick for so many analysts for so many weeks, is he's the guy that right now looks like need meets value the best.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing out, you know, scenarios, that one makes perfect sense. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he's the pick, but I've said all along, I put him about 35%, you know, I mean, about 35% chance. I think he's the highest percentage chance in that sense, but there's a bunch of guys that are right there.
Sure. He's got Montez Sweat as number six there on his list, and I do think he's slipping. I think he might even be off the list at this point if you were going through their 10, right?
Yeah.
I think he might be below that right now for the Jags just based on a feel. Again, not because we know anything. Maybe we learn a little bit more today at the draft luncheon, although who knows what
right.
we're going to learn or not learn at the draft luncheon. So with the four guys in the middle there, assuming Josh Allen's not going to be available to him,
mm-hmm.
right? So what order would you put for you, not necessarily the team, but for you, the guys he has in there? Juwan Taylor, Ed Oliver, Rashawn Gary, TJ Hawkinson.
Probably Taylor, Hawkinson, Oliver, Gary.
Okay.
Only because, I'm sorry, switch Hawkinson and Oliver, but probably put him like in a hat and, you know.
So you'd have Taylor one?
Mainly because I've been saying offensive line all along. So offensive line, defensive line, tight end, and then Gary scares you a little bit because of the lack of production.
Gary terrifies me.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just how, based on everything that I've been writing and saying, that's how I would have to stick to it. How confident I am that that's the right order of four, I'm going to keep going with my – I love 35% as my draft confidence number. That's about how confident I am in anything you're saying.
It is funny. He listed a couple other mock drafts there that go through the full draft for the Jags, and just looking at him early, he had Juwan Taylor in the first round. Ryan Wilson has Montez Sweat. Again, that seems unlikely to me right now. Chris Trapasso has Rashawn Gary. So at least on CBS, you're getting guys going a different direction. It feels like right. Juwan Taylor's
what
kind
are
of
the other 33 mock drafts they have on the site today?
I'm not sure. I'd have to pull it up. You know?
No, CBS is brilliant in their draft coverage. They roll out a mock probably 5 or 6 days out of 7 a week, and people eat it up, and it's you know, I read Pete's because I've known him forever, and I trust Pete more than anybody else on that site just because I've known mm-hmm. him forever. But they do a nice job, and Ryan Wilson does a nice job with his draft stuff too.
Sure. Can you stick around for a couple more minutes here in this segment?
Until 11:45, and then I got to be up there for TC.
So we got Johnny O for a couple minutes here on the other side. We'll get to the fan feedback spotlight as well, asking you what player scares you the most among the names that have been connected to the Jags there with the number 7 overall pick. We'll get to some of your responses as well. Mike DiRocco was asked over there at ESPN to pick what has been the most impactful draft day trade in the history of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Draft day trade.
Impactful being good or bad?
It can be good or bad.
Okay, well.
So take a minute.
Easy pick.
Take a minute and decide where you may land on what has been the most impactful draft day trade in the history of the Jags. We'll give you what Mike DiRocco had to say about it and our response to it on the other side. As we continue along, it's a Monday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at TIAA Bank Field, this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, a couple minutes left here. Then we'll head upstairs for the draft luncheon. Tom Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, Doug Marrone, all expected to speak as we are just 3 days away from the first round of the NFL draft up in Nashville. I did see... the draft is outdoors this year. I think the stage where the picks are being made is covered, but they do expect rain in Nashville on Thursday night. I'm curious to see what this first round may look like when everything is said and done.
Wait.
And how full-throated the boos will be, I'm sure, for Roger Goodell. Another year, another opportunity to boo the heck out of the commissioner of the league.
That's sort of like the voluntary workout story at this point, right? It's like, okay,
right.
Just get it done.
Can we get creative with it?
Yeah.
Like Nashville, it's your chance.
Yeah.
It's your chance.
You know? I even laugh at it. Like some of the sites, I sort of get why, like when he goes to Boston, he's booed.
Yeah.
Because there's been stuff. But it always cracks me up when he goes to a city like, you know, nothing is Nashville, and our fans don't like Nashville, but, you know, and Nashville boos him. Why? What
do
you
think? It's fun to boo every now
right.
and then, I guess. It's just kind of fun
right.
To be a part of the group, I guess, that is doing it. We mentioned DeRocco was tasked with trying to determine what is the worst draft day trade in franchise, or the what is the most impactful
right.
draft day trade. It was funny because that's where my brain went,
right?
Like, what good draft day trade have they made?
Yeah, I'm sure they've made some in later rounds that
sure.
makes sense. I'm trying to remember in the first couple of years what they did, but the fact that nothing stands out means that nothing stands
sure.
out. Sure.
So it's immediately two trades jumped to mind.
Yep.
Two trades jumped to mind, and one was the one that DeRocco listed, and the other one was the one that you asked, is this what he said?
Yeah.
When we hit the break, you asked, it's got to be Blaine Gabbert.
Well, yeah, now I say that because remember, that was my first year back. I wasn't here for the Derek Harvey trade.
Sure.
Derek Harvey, because of all that went into it, I mean, they thought they were one trade away or
boy, did they.
A couple of players away, went after that. It's one thing to do that. It's another thing to have him completely not contribute at all. He was gone by the time I got here, which was 3 years later. So I think Mike's probably right. That probably is the most impactful. Although anything to do with quarterback, the fact that it didn't work out makes it very impactful as well. And they gave up their second-round pick that year to move up. So you cost yourself two players for one who didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
I would say 1A and 1B. But in overall impact on the franchise, as a flashpoint moment, Derek Harvey certainly signal the beginning of the end in
sure.
a sense.
Can sometime in the near future we add a positive trade? Like when someone asks this question, I can go, oh yeah, this one, they nailed it. Like I would like to be able to have that thought.
If sometime. Memory serves, they traded up for Justin too.
They did. They moved
now that
for
I
Blackman.
Think about it, yeah, but I want to say they gave up a third or fifth. Like
I'd have to look.
I don't think they gave up an incredible amount to get up. And that just doesn't feel like quite the impact in terms of that still just feels more like a miss than it does an impactful trade.
Yeah, they gave up a fourth.
Yeah, so, yeah, probably three on that one.
Yeah, I'm right there
but again,
with you.
Not a great trade.
Before you head upstairs, we got another minute or so here with you before you need to bolt for the luncheon upstairs. Have you done the required, the schedule came out, so game by game, week by week, pick the record?
Yeah, I did. I went through it, and I came up with, you know, optimistically came up 9 or 10
okay.
wins.
Okay.
Pessimistically came up with 5 or 6. I mean, if things go bad, this feels like a team right now that's going to be between there somewhere. If things go right and their offseason moves worked right and the quarterback improves everything, then I think they can – you know, push for playoff contention. The problem is so many games in the NFL are four-point games that it's all about how you can close.
Yeah.
This is a team with a defense that can close. If they start off well, if they're 3-3, and I say 3-3 starting off well because it's a tough early schedule. 3-3, 4-2 stay in it, then this team starts believing in itself. It could easily be like 2017.
Sure.
If it goes bad, we've seen this, you know, didn't respond that well to going bad last year.
No, they
so
really
didn't.
So I
think that's your range, and optimistically, I'd say 10.
Well, great. What do you have coming up on Jaguars.com this week?
Covering the, lead up to the draft. A lot of what we do this week, some of it will depend on what comes out of the draft day luncheon, but we'll certainly take a look at some of my scenarios by Wednesday.
All right. Sounds good.
Appreciate
you coming in today.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Enjoy the luncheon, whatever information you can glean from it.
I'm looking forward to lunch at the lunch.
No doubt. Lunch may be the highlight. Honestly, as we get through it. So that's John Osier. He'll join us again next week.
Party time.
That's right. It's party time. As we'll be party reacting to an NFL draft the next time that we speak with John Osier here on Jaguars Today, just 3 days away from the first round of the NFL draft on Thursday night up there in what looks to be a rainy Nashville. I am curious to see what that's going to look like for them as rain expected to roll in late in the week up there in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm sure a bunch of Jaguars fans would be just so heartbroken if the NFL draft didn't go well for the city of Nashville when everything is said and done. Our fan feedback question of the day today asking you, what player among the names that have been most commonly attached to the Jacksonville Jaguars throughout the draft process would you least like to see them select? So among the names that we've seen attached to the Jags a bunch, who would you least like to see be the pick? Here's some of the answers we got today from Couch. Rashawn Gary, I don't want the 7th pick overall to be a guy with 9 sacks in 3 seasons when you're picking him to be your edge rusher. From Matthew, Jawan Taylor, is he even the best player at his position? Jonah Williams, better value in round 2, is Risner. So he thinks Jonah's better at the number 7 spot and thinks there's a better value available there in the 2nd round. From Chad, Jawan Taylor, you draft a right tackle that high when you're set at left tackle. Our left tackle missed last year with a knee injury after having a less than stellar camp, came in overweight, and you're basing your value of him based on his rookie year 2 years ago. From Ian, Jawan Taylor, they can draft a tackle in round 2, best player available, not for need. From David, Jawan Taylor, I get the need for a right tackle, but the value isn't there for a top 10 pick. Come back around 2nd round to shore up the offensive line. I still like Hawkinson, phenomenal tight end, which we need and Foles needs, and he is also a great blocker to help the line. From Jonathan, I would say Brian Burns, because the Jags defense is loaded and we don't need to draft a defensive player. From Brian, Jawan Taylor, because you don't draft a right tackle at 7, especially when your greatest right tackle in team history says he stinks. I've heard Leon Searcy talk about it. I don't think he said he stinks. I thought he said he just didn't like him there at number 7, that he'd rather go with a left tackle and have Cam Robinson potentially switch positions there. From JagFan15, he says Rashawn Gary, red flags, math doesn't add up to me. And from MetaWorld Crazy, any right tackle, he just says no thanks to any of the guys we've been discussing. Their right tackle is a value pick there at number 7. Look, obviously the most common answer there was Jawan Taylor. I think Rashawn Gary is probably the answer for me to this. I don't see him attached to the Jags as much as we did, say, 2 months ago there at the number 7 overall pick. But if I had to pick one guy that I'm like, ooh, that's the one that it makes me the most nervous among the names that we've heard talked about to the Jags, it's probably Rashawn Gary. Jawan Taylor doesn't make me nervous so much as I just don't love the idea of picking a right tackle if that's what he is. Like, he is just a right tackle, not a guy that might be able to play left and play right if we need him to, or play another position, but is a right tackle. I don't love the idea of drafting a right tackle at number 7 in a draft, again, where they tell me there's value to be had along the defensive line. It just, something doesn't quite sit right with me with that, and it's why I keep coming back around to defensive line. Ed Oliver, at this point, as we're 3 days out, would be the guy that I would love to see them go take. I'm not going to be surprised at all if it's an offensive lineman there at number 7, because clearly they could use an upgrade on the offensive line, and it's hard to find them. Like, I can't come on here every day and every week and talk about how difficult it is to have any depth in the league. I don't even say it's difficult. I say it's a lie. Offensive line depth in the league is a lie, and I can't sit here and say it's a lie to have offensive line depth and have an opportunity at number 7 to maybe take your favorite offensive lineman in a draft and say it would be a bad pick. I don't think it would be a bad pick. I don't expect it to go that direction, because I think there's going to be a defensive lineman. At this point, I expect there to be a defensive lineman that they like more than they like any of these offensive linemen. Only 3 days left to discuss it. Let's find out what they'll be discussing after us on XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
All right, Josie, what's going on today, buddy?
Hey, man, coming out of the Easter weekend, you know, ham, chocolate, you know, all the candies you want to get your hands on. So, yeah, a good Easter. You guys have a good one, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I had so many sweets, man. By the time I got back home, I had a friend of mine. We had some friends over, and they were offering me, like, candy, whatever. I was like, no, I'm done.
I'll never refuse it, Tony. Never.
I've had enough. I've been eating sweets for 12 hours. I'm done with the sweets for today. Talk to me again on Monday.
You know what's going to be sweet? You know what's going to be sweet? When they actually make a draft pick coming
you
up.
You aren't kidding. You aren't kidding. We got the Media Mock Draft coming up tomorrow. I think we've determined it's either the 14th or 15th annual Media Mock Draft. Still not exactly sure on what number year we're on, but we got that coming up tomorrow. What are you guys coming up later on today?
Well, we're going to definitely dive into the draft and whether people's line of thinking is starting to shift a little bit. So we'll cover it as well as we can following you guys. And then also NBA over the weekend. Billy Donovan may be out of a job. I think it's more likely than not that he's going to get bounced from Oklahoma City. They are down 3-1 to a team that didn't win a single playoff game last year. In fact, Portland was a tidy 0-10 in playoff action, yet they look like they're going to be able to beat OKC. Got plenty of other ones to get into. And then some spring ball also over the weekend. So we'll cover it all during the next 3 hours.
Yeah, sounds like a good reason to be saying next question if you're Westbrook and when everything is said and done out there with Oklahoma City. All right, Joe, we'll be listening, buddy.
All right, sounds good, Tony.
There you go. It's Joe Coward. The XL Primetime coming up after us from noon to 3 here on 1010XL. Joe C. Hacker, Matt Hayes, and Leon Searcy to get you ready as we are just 3 days away from the draft. Media Mock Draft tomorrow here on Jaguars Today. We'll have you for the first 16 picks. XL Primetime will take over after us for picks 17 through 32. And again, you're 14 or 15. I don't know which one it is of the Media Mock Draft. Mike Dempsey, who is on assignment today, hopefully back with us tomorrow for the Mock Draft as we'll get it kicked off right at the top of the show basically tomorrow with Arizona. They're officially on the clock for the 1010XL official Media Mock Draft. So for John Osier, for Emmanuel Thalaram, for myself, Fat Tony, for Mike Dempsey on assignment today, for Joe Fortunato, that'll do it for us here on a Monday edition of Jaguars Today. XL Primetime coming up next. I'm sure they'll be reacting to the media luncheon as they are upstairs on Coughlin time officially at 11:53. They are sitting down, and Tom Coughlin is answering the first question of the Media Mock Draft today. We'll get reaction to that a little bit throughout the afternoon, I'm sure, as well, here on 1010XL. XL Primetime coming up next here on 1010XL.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go to the...